Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. And as we continue, just to remind you, the title this evening is Kingdom Battle. And this is our third and last week that we will be broadcasting on that particular title. Next week we'll be going on to another title, which will be Kingdom Worship. So we do invite you to continue to tune in and just to be a part of this Bible study discussion. For those of you who are listening, we do appreciate you listening. For those of you just calling in, if you choose to call in, the number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And you would be connected to the discussion, and all of the believers out there can take part and hear how God has blessed you through the reading of the scripture. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move into our topic discussion, or continue our topic discussion. We have prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for another day. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just bless our endeavors, that you would just bless all the hearers and all the doers, Heavenly Father, as we come together on one accord. Father, we ask that you would just manifest your word, that you would just allow your anointing to sink in through these airways and the byways, and that you would just bless the ear gates of the hearers. Lord, Father, we don't come perform a fashion. We just come, Heavenly Father, just to bless your name for no other reason. And, Lord, Father, we ask that you would just use us as vessels, Heavenly Father, as we walk by faith and not by sight. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. We thank you and we give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My name is Brother John, and then we have Dr. Suzanne here that's part of this Bible discussion. And what we do, for those of you that's listening for the first time, we just go over scripture, and we do invite you to call in to just share with the Lord how the Lord is speaking to your spirit and what it's saying to you, and you would just share it to the rest of the hearers that are a part of this broadcast at this particular time. Our topic is Kingdom Battle, Kingdom Battle. And what we're going to do is to start off with this, and we have a question. We're starting off with a Kingdom Battle. And think about that topic. Excuse me. And the topic says, what does it mean that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence? And the violence taken by force? Is God's order so evident in me that it is shaking my life, home, business, and relationships? Or is it business and usual. Why not?
Could you repeat the first part of that question, Thomas?
What does it mean that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force?
That was a lot. That was a lot to think about and a lot to try to talk about, but to take it in pieces, I might be able to take it a better understanding. In the scripture, that scripture comes from Matthew 10. Matthew 11:12. And it says, I'm going to read from the Living Bible. If you've been listening, which you know I favor the Living and the Amplified Bible a lot. In the Living Bible, Matthew 11, verse 12 says, and from the time of John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing until now, ardent multitudes have been crowded toward the kingdom of heaven. For all the law and the prophets look forward to the Messiah. Then John appeared, and if you are willing to understand what I mean, he is Elijah the woman prophet said was and I'm gonna stop this. So that's a different form of that verse, a different take on the verse. What it's saying they're saying is that from the time that John the Baptist was here, like the multitudes were pushing it and rushing John the Baptist when he would speak. And Jesus is saying that it didn't begin with him, but John the Baptist started preaching the good news and kind of ushered him in to it. He preceded him as preaching the good news. But then as Jesus preaches, that there's more and more and more people that are pressing in. Now, some of those people were people that mocked Jesus. It was people like the Pharisees came in who followed him, criticized him and tried to catch him in error. There were people that wanted just to keep up with him to see who he was and make sure that he didn't get this too powerful or too popular with the people. And then there were those who were believers. So all of them were not believers and were not speakers. But nevertheless, it was a multitude, and they were listening. They were hearing what he had to say. So the violent ones would be those that were rushing to hear Jesus. They would press up against the disciples. We talked last week about Jesus told the with the loaves of bread and the fishes that after feeding the multitudes and speaking, he told them it was time for them to stop, and he sent the disciples out into the ship, out onto the water, and he stayed there and told the multitudes to leave. Well, there were so many people, they were pressing against, in other words, crowding him, that there were just that many people that were following him, multitudes, hundreds. And I know that in the scripture, it speaks of how many were fed, so that'll give you an idea of what his followers were, that there were thousands, am I correct? There were thousands that were following. So many, many people were listening to him and following to see what he had to say. Now another take on this verse, and one of the commentaries speaks of it this way also, is speaking of it in the terms of warfare, that taking the violent taking it by force, takes the kingdom of heaven by force, that we are supposed to be ready for battle and ready to take what's ours, reclaim what's ours and go forward to for the kingdom. That's one way of speaking about it. You know what, in Matthew 10:34, the Lord says, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth, no, rather a sword. He said, and remember, the word is our sword. Right. So he didn't come to bring peace. And we always think of baby Jesus in the manger and peace on earth. But he came because it is a warfare. We are in a spiritual warfare. And he came with the sword, the word of God. Right. And we're supposed to use the word of God against those things that come against the kingdom of God. We're supposed to use the word of God as our main tool, our main weapon. A sword is a weapon. So you're supposed to fight with the word. That's why the Lord tells us about our mouth and using our mouth. And using our mouth for to be a blessing and not a curse. When you use your mouth, when you speak the word. Mm-hmm. And you should be able to speak the word like speak the word as it is, use it as a sword and say, Satan, get behind me, Satan. Or I come against such and such in the name of Jesus. Use the word. Use the word. Mm-hmm. Use the word. The word is our sword, our weapon.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we have any one that would like to make a comment on what the Lord is saying to you, in reference to that comment or your question, which is, what does it mean that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force? And the question is God's order so evident in me that it is shaking my life?
I, Can we go back? I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I, you know, I'm pretty much what you had stated, Dr. Suzanne. And I look at it, when John the Baptist was preaching, there was a multitude that wanted to hear him. And through that multitude, there was a pressing to hear the word or hear what John the Baptist had to say. So there was it's almost like having so many people and everybody's trying to get up front, and they're just pressing forward to hear the word. They're hearing about John the Baptist and the word, you know, or what he was preaching about the kingdom of heaven. And you have all these multitudes and all these people who are trying to get in first so that they can be the first in front, you know, to witness what John the Baptist was speaking. So when I see that in terms of pressing by violence, they were basically just trying to overtake that front line to hear and be blessed, you know, by what John the Baptist was preaching at that particular time. So, you know, that's basically how I kind of look at that.
Amen.
Yeah. Is there anyone that is tuning in that would like to share with us? You know, I see that we do have the 574 who is listening in, and if you would like to share what the Lord is saying to you at this particular time, in reference to that, we do invite you to be a part of this discussion and bless us with us as the Lord. Again, for all of you who are listening and would like to tune in, we would invite you to call 347-237-4054. Your number will come up, and if you choose to, you can verbally speak what the scripture is speaking to you so that everyone can hear it. And for those listeners, you have the opportunity of typing it in, and we will respond that way. But it's just a blessing to be able to come together on one accord and just to share the word of God. I just truly believe that's a blessing that the believers come together.
Amen.
With one frame of mind or one accord, and we all just being blessed by the word. And when we think about the kingdom battle, there are so many diversions out there to prevent the believers from moving forward. From moving forward and being about God's business. It's almost like that when we do good, evil is always present. There's always something to prevent us from moving forward and be about, you know, God's business. You know, as we look at Ephesians 6:11, I believe it says, you know, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. What are they? They're lies. They're discouragements. They're confusion. It's snare. It's anything that is cunning that's going to prevent us from moving forward or to weaken and destroy the believers. And that's just what the enemy's tactics are. And that's just to tear us down, to kill us, destroy us, to prevent us from being, you know, about God's business. God says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on that whole armor. That's what Ephesians said. You know, so that we're able to withstand the wiles of the devil.
It's interesting that you said that even believers, because right now I'm reading a book called Waking the Dead by John Eldridge, and he's talking about waking the spiritual dead believers in the church, because we have people that are spiritually dead. The enemy has, I think that most Christians, for the most part, I know there was some type of survey about do Christians believe in the devil or whatever, but I believe that most Christians in both mainline churches do believe that there is an enemy, that there's a foe, whether they call him the devil or Satan or whatever, any other of the names of the evil one. But I believe that they usually think of the devil's involvement in politics or education, medicine, law, in the military, you know, with entertainment, with what we see on television, what we hear on the radio, what our children are singing and playing and dancing to, the influence of the media, with the way our children dress, especially in communications, and even the subtle influence of the enemy in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say in the church, I'm talking about the backbiting, the division in our churches, the reluctancy to talk about the things with God, avoiding certain topics, trying to be so-called politically correct, but being seen as wrong. You know, I think that most Christians accept that. I mean, they know that. They know that. Whether it's right or wrong, they know that. I don't think that most of us pray against those things.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of Christians fail to acknowledge that we are in a battle. It's a kingdom battle that takes place in the physical realm right here where we are, but also in the heavenly, in the spiritual realm, and that what transpires in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly, affects the human events here in the physical realm, and that we are to, the Lord has told us what to do. He said that he didn't even come to bring peace, that he came with a sword.
Yes.
He told us what to do, that we are to arm ourselves. So, like I was telling my son the other night, whether you like it or not, you're in a battle, so you might as well be dressed for it. Okay?
Right.
Whether you like it or not, here in Ohio, it gets very, very cold in February. So you can want to wear your bathing suit and your flip-flops, but it's not a wise person that would do that. A wise person would wear their winter clothing, their boots, their gloves, their scarves, a heavy winter coat, and winter attire underneath. So wisdom says, be prepared. And the Lord has told us what we have to do to be prepared for it. And not only is he telling us what to wear, he's telling you, he's even giving you examples of what to say and how to treat, how you should carry yourself, your demeanor, your behavior. And he tells us, when to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if God is giving you the blueprint for this, why wouldn't we take it? We talked last week about the angels that the Lord has assigned to us, and that's another thing I wanted to bring up, because very often you'll hear Christians saying, especially when someone passes, well, now they'll just be my angel. We, as God's creation, God's children, are above the angels. The Lord has given us the ability to call on the angels on our behalf. So no, we are not, and you will not be angels. That we do have the ability to direct angels and request angels. But we need to remember that deception is Satan's greatest weapon in his attempt to neutralize and destroy every Christian and church on this earth. A part of the body of Christ has already bought into Satan's lies and will fight to defend him. Many will cling to Satan's lies that are, you know, in the world, and the way society is today, people are confused. They're spiritually confused and spiritually deaf and dumb, spiritually numb. The good news is that the Lord is still raising up an army. Even right now, in these end times, and this great army is going to engage in the greatest battle. And we know, we already know who's going to win.
Right.
But before we go there, if you don't mind, Brother John, if I could just say a couple more things, and I'm going to be quiet for a minute.
Be quiet.
Is that the Lord wants our heart. If you imagine the battle, since I've been reading this piece on battles and everything, I watched a couple of different movies that normally I don't watch because I don't like shoot 'em up movies and the fighting movies like Brother John does. But watching the war movies, and you think about the strategies that the authority figure, is that called the colonel or captain or whatever they're called, the authority figure in the army heart of a unit. So if my fighting men, my army is fighting another army, they're going to go for the strongest point, for the heart of that organization. Well, the same thing happens with us and with the enemy, is that he can get our mind through things that we read and see and the things of the world today.
Mm-hmm.
He can get minds like that if you don't guard your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important for us to pray over our children.
Amen.
And pray that their minds are guarded, because you can have them in your home, but if they go outside, if they interact with anyone, they watch TV, they still have the influence of the world that's coming at them also. So to guard our minds, we guard our ears. But that's not the central part of the body. What the enemy wants is your heart.
Mm-hmm.
What the enemy wants is your heart. And I have a few scriptures, if you don't mind, that I, this is from my reading last night. Okay, our author John Eldridge says that we're just sleepwalking through life. And so in order to find out our way out of these woods, we must return to our heart. And in scriptures about the heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's Deuteronomy 6:5. And Jesus called this the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. Your heart, again, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's 1 Samuel 16:7.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Luke 12:34. Then there's another one, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Psalms 119:11. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Matthew 15:8. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's 2 Chronicles 16:9. And all a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. Proverbs 21:2. See, the enemy wants you to harden your heart. The enemy wants you to become heartless. The enemy wants you to forget where your heart is, forget the heart of to forget your heart. But what the Lord wants is he wants your heart fully committed to him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, do not be faint-hearted. He wants your heart.
Yeah, that's so true, in terms of where our heart is where we are. And the Lord, that's what he looked at, determined where we are. We can speak beautiful words, and we can paint pretty pictures, but of the Lord is at the heart. And that's when, you go into the peak of false prophets. It says, we have to beware. False prophets, because they go out, as sheep, in wolves' clothing. Emphasize on that, and we have to, as we are moving forward, in kingdom battle or our battles that we are struggling against, we have to always be reminded that this is a warfare that we're in. It's a spiritual warfare that we're in. And sometimes things happen to discourage us or to just make us feel that we're less than what we are, and that is just, a trick of the enemy to weaken us.
Thank you.
To weaken us. Yeah, and there was three things that I wanted to emphasize in terms of strategies of the enemy. And one is that the devil exaggerates the pleasures of sin. The devil exaggerates the pleasures of sin while minimizing the true nature and the outcome of sin. So, you know, what he does is he exaggerates all this and he makes it appear where these pleasures are good and the outcome that of what we do is not going to be that great. That's for number one. For number two, the devil sees an opening into our lives through emotion or mood. And, you know, and I want to go back and support that, that what I said, the devil exaggerates pleasures of sin, and we can, you know, you can notate that as Hebrews 11:24-25, if you want to notate that and just to support it. Now, number two, it says the devil sees an opening into our lives through emotion or mood, and that can be found in Ephesians 4:26. Ephesians 4:26.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here it's what Paul said, that be not, that we should not let the sun go down on your wrath or give place to the devil. That anger, emotions, that are mood swings that we go through, that the enemy uses that as a tool in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And what the word is saying is that if we have mood swings or we're angry or we go through any type of attitude or we need an attitude adjustment, that we should pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
Pray about it. You know, we should pray about it. And it says that we should not go to bed angry. In other words, for, you know, you husbands, including myself, we should not be angry when we get ready to go to bed, that we should forgive before we go to sleep. And that's a powerful piece where, you know, what Paul says, that we should not let the sun go down on your wrath or give place to the devil. That what we're doing is we're allowing that emotion to increase. We're allowing that emotion to become stronger. And number three, the devil will use people to lead us astray. The devil will lead people. The devil will use people to lead us astray. And that's where Jesus talks about that we should beware of the false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. And that can be located in Matthew 7:15. That can be located in other words, you know, people can say beautiful things and say good things, you know, to us, you know, but that's why it's important to study the word. That's, you know, this Bible study, you know, discussion, I think is so important because we grow through it. And we're not looking to determine who knows a lot about the word. We're not looking at that. All we're doing is just discussing the word of God so that we can become strengthened. So that when someone
can understand.
Amen. So that when someone comes to us saying us, you know, what the word says, we know within our spirit that it is not true. That is not true, and we will not be led astray. And then a fourth piece that I want to share is strategies of the enemy. Is the devil is the most master of marketing agents. The devil is the master marketing agent. And what it is, and what he does is, the enemy does is, he packages sin in a neat, attractive bundles. He just packages sin in neat, attractive bundles, and that's in Hebrews 3:12. And when we look at that, you know, if someone brought you a garbage bag to hand to you, and you grabbed that garbage bag, and all of a sudden there was a smell to it, you know, and the maggots and everything was running around it, would you continue to hold on to that garbage bag?
No.
You know, you're going to let it go. You know, you're going to let it go because of the smell or the scent that's coming from it. You know, so what he does is he packages that sin so that it doesn't smell and so that it does not like anything bad.
No, but you said that's Hebrews 3:12.
Hebrews 3:12. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hebrews 3:12. It talks about that, and that's just how things come to us. It looks good. It looks mm-hmm. good, but everything that looks good isn't always good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, those are just you know a few of you know the pieces when we talk about these strategies. And you know what? I really don't want to talk a lot, you know, because we always want to open up the discussion. If anyone would like to share or jump in with this, we do welcome that. You know, Dr. Suzanne and myself, we don't like to, you know, just continue talking with ourselves. We like to hear from you. We do welcome you to be a part of this Bible study discussion group. You know, that's why it's interactive, to invite others from all around that's listening to take part in it. Either you can text or type it in, or, you know, you can get on the phone, and, you know, we also, you know, give you the opportunity to share what, you know, the Lord is saying to you. And everyone else, as you're speaking, can hear what you're saying as well. So we don't want to just dominate, you know, this Bible study discussion.
Right. It's give and take. Give
Amen.
And take for sure.
Amen.
You know what, Brother Jack? Can we go back to Hebrews 3,
mm-hmm.
what you just said?
Sure.
Because that goes with what I was talking about.
We'll slow down and make sure that, you know, that the listeners have an opportunity to, you know, to go back and pull it up so that we're all, you know, on the same page.
Okay, that was Hebrews 3. I want to look at verse 10. Hebrews chapter 3, mm-hmm. verse 10.
It is Hebrews 3, verse 10. Amen.
Okay, verse 10 says, "But God says, I was very angry with them, for their hearts were always looking somewhere else instead of up to me, and they never found the path I wanted them to follow." That is a good scripture because you're mentioning the heart again, that their hearts weren't focused. Their hearts were not focused on God. God was not the priority. So, like, if I have a heart for God, I'm going to try to do the things that would please God. When I have a heart for my profession, so my profession is not like work. It's something I enjoy doing. I have a heart for gardening. So when you say heart for something, it's that you have a passion for it. And this verse right here even lends itself to next week when we talk about worship. Because when we turn our hearts to the Lord and we praise Him and trust Him and we communicate with Him and bless Him with our songs and our praises, and He does the same, He connects with us.
Amen.
But that's a good one. It keeps us focused. That's why praise and worship is so important at the beginning of the service, that everyone comes in on different planes, but we're at the time of praise and worship, we become on the same, on one accord, and then it's nice to hear the word go forth.
Yes.
Now, verse 12, you said, "Beware then of your own heart, dear brothers, lest you find that they too are evil and unbelieving and are leading you away from the living God." So when people's hearts are hardened, or their hearts have been wooed away from the Lord, people that are prostituting their gifts, people that are not using their gifts for the kingdom, but using their gifts for evil, people that are not focusing their thoughts with minds and numb or in slump. And then in verse 15, "Today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your hearts against Him, as the people of Israel did when they rebelled against Him in the desert." So there is a price if you harden your heart towards the Lord. You can be in the wilderness, spiritual wilderness, sometimes a physical wilderness. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that is so true. And also we have to be reminded that it states this, is my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And when I see, you know, when you were talking about verse 10, you know, the last part, you know, is not knowing, you know, they did not all, they made mistakes or they erred in their heart. They did not know my ways. You know, so again, we're right back to, it's important, you know, to study the Word of God. It's almost like, you know, God is our best friend. He's our best friend, and we communicate with him on a regular basis, on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, whatever it takes. God wants to hear from us on a regular basis, and the more that we begin continue to communicate with God through prayer and through reading the Word, the better we know his way. And when I see here, you know, it's God was disgraced because they didn't know his way. They didn't know who he really was. You know, you say, you know, was 40 years, that wasn't enough? That wasn't enough? 40 years in the desert was not enough?
And especially them, because they had firsthand experience
mm-hmm.
of love of the Lord, how much the Lord loved them. So how could you harden your heart? But remember, these are examples not only of yesterday, but it is examples of today.
Amen. That is so true. And you know, and you know what? None of us is perfect. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. But the thing is, do we continue to make the same mistakes that we know that's wrong? And that's what God looks at. You know, God wants us to know that when we ask for forgiveness, that we are truly asking for forgiveness. You know, or are we looking just to for past? You know, past this time of things going back in our hearts. We have intentions of going back doing it. That's why it's also important, you know, to stay around other believers.
Amen.
You know, to fellowship with other believers.
Amen.
Because we encourage each other. You know, especially if we are studying the Word of God. You know, iron sharpens iron, as you know it's stated. You know, we sharpen ourselves. You know, because we hear things that others are going through, and we realize, you know what? I'm not in this by myself. There are others that are going through this way.
Or even the way, like the what you spoke on Sunday, inspired me, because you never know. It's good to me. It's good to share ideas and share what the Lord is saying to you, and share your interpretation of the Word. It's good to share. Just have open dialogue, non-judgmental open dialogue, because you can learn so much. And what you had mentioned Sunday when you were speaking about the Lord and Peter was very inspirational for me, because you brought up some points that you took it from another slant that I hadn't heard. And maybe you want to share that. You said suddenly.
Immediately.
And when you were saying that, I just saw how the Lord worked. That if Peter had looked up at him immediately, he would have remembered who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And how sometimes when we're in situations, we may call ourselves praying or complaining or, you know, worrying or lamenting about a certain thing. But it's about keeping your eyes on the prize, keeping
Amen.
Your eyes on Christ.
Amen.
And that should be your first line of defense. Line up with Christ.
Amen.
And to keep your eyes on Christ.
Amen.
So that was a good sermon anyway. But it didn't really fall. So I'm so glad to hear this.
Always want to be a blessing. But again, when we go out, are all, you know, called, you know, to go out and encourage and build others up and myself, you know, be speaking to people's lives, you know, to speak to people's lives, that you constantly do to speak to others' lives, that is so important. And we need others to speak to our lives as well. That is just so critical in our walk. you know, but, you know, that's, you know, again, we, you know, we, for those of you just tuning in, again, we do invite you to call 347-237-4054, and that would connect you, and you would be able to discuss any scripture that we are discussing, and, you know, give you an opportunity to share with us, or I'm going to say share, and I should say bless us with, you know, how, what the Lord is speaking to you. There are many that have called in and have shared, have just truly been a blessing to us, and we do thank you for, you know, for those of you out of state that have tuned in and been a part of this, both out of state as well as in state. We do thank you so much, so much. And just continue to keep us in prayer that we would move forward, you know, being about, you know, God's business. We just all want to come together, all on the board. Again, you know, we know that we need each other in order to fight this battle. You know, we need each other to encourage each other. We need each other just to make sure that we can all make it in. So that's so important. And God's word is like a two-edged sword. You know, it's like a two-edged sword. It does cut. It does cut. But, you know, that cut does heal. Just keep in mind that every cut, there is healing. It may hurt for a minute, but there is healing in the end. And that's what's so beautiful about the Lord. The Lord is always just healing us with whatever we're going through at this particular time or even later on down the road. But there is healing. And this is a battle. This is a battle. And just please be reminded, you know, please do not forget that this is a spiritual warfare. No different than if we would go out on a battlefield in the service, Army, Navy, Marines, whatever. We're going out prepared. We're going out prepared, knowing that there's someone on the other side that is going to be shooting at us, trying to hurt us. So we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. There's an enemy out there. And I do want to share this, you know, that Satan, you know, or we call him the adversary, is given a number of descriptive names in Scripture, including Beelzebul, and that is the prince of demons. The prince of demons, and that's in Luke 11:15. The devil and the tempter is another name. That's in Matthew 4:1-3. A murderer and the father of lies, which is in John 8:44. The prince of the world, John 12:31-14:30. The ruler and the kingdom of the air. The ruler and the kingdom of the air, Ephesians 2:2. The evil one, that's in 1 John 2:14. And the accuser of our brothers in Revelations 12:10. Revelations 22 identifies him with two additional names, the dragon and the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan.
Now we're not, Brother John's not reading that to just so that you know, so when you see those characters in society that you know what they represent. But we're not supposed to be afraid of the enemy, but fear just comes from God. That's from the enemy. The Lord has told us how we're to operate. If we're supposed to walk in confidence.
Amen.
The confidence of being a believer, the confidence of being a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to have on our full armor ready for battle.
Amen.
And we know how to come against the enemy.
Amen. Amen. We truly do. We truly do. So, do you want to move on to the next question?
Okay.
The next question is, what is the only ground of authority for both relationships and rulership of God? And this is located in Colossians 2:13-15. Colossians 2:13-15. Colossians 2, 13-15.
In the King James Version, Colossians 2, 13 says, beginning with 13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Mm-hmm.
And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it."
Mm-hmm.
In the Living Bible it says, "You were dead in your sins, and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ, for he forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his commandments which you had not obeyed. He took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and you openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away." At the beginning, it talks about circumcision, and we remember that Moses was commanded to circumcise. How was it, Abraham? I'm getting mixed up. This Abraham circumcised the sons and those of the tribe, but the circumcision was a sign that they were the chosen people of Christ. So circumcision, as we see it in the New Testament, though, was the circumcision of our heart, that our heart, which had been hardened, or the heart that was not of God, was the sin was cut away from. In other words, it's spiritually symbolic. So our desires, our sinful desires, were cut away, and that cutting represents circumcision. And if you remember when we talked about covenant, the cutting is a part of covenant. In fact, it was called to cut covenant. Then we say that Christ, that we were forgiven of our sins after that. Now, as the Hebrews would do before, they had rituals where they would have sacrifices and so forth, and cut the blood sacrifices and cutting the animals and sacrificing animals and so forth for their sins. But their sins were not destroyed. So they would make a sacrifice, would walk away still guilty, still feeling burdened with the sin. So they'd make another sacrifice. So they were constantly, it was constant sacrifice, constant blood. My associate pastor at our church says, Reverend Kathy says, you know, just imagine the stench in the summertime of all the dead animals and the blood that was around there. But that's what they did, and that was a symbol of their sacrifice, that they were giving their best animals and so forth to be sacrificed for the sins that they had committed. But the Lord has said when Christ came in the new covenant, that we don't have to do that anymore.
Amen.
So the old covenant was nailed to the cross with Christ. And by doing that, he triumphed over principalities and powers, that he was the final sacrifice, that there would be no more sacrifices such as those, that he was the final sacrifice for all of our sins. So he took all of our sins with him to the cross with him. So the enemy can't persecute us and hold us and hold us down and torment us with those with sin and with guilt and doubt and all the things that are not of God. Because if you're a child of God and you know the word, then you know that Christ suffered that for you, that he gave his life for all of our sins, and it includes all means all, and that's all means. All of our sinful desires and so forth went to the cross with Christ, and that's the end. He's the body of Christ. So after having four principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So he crushed the devil's head by doing that, because the enemy's plan was for Jesus to look foolish on the cross, for that he would get rid of him, or just like the tempting in the garden. But it was all done. It's all done. It was all said and done.
Amen.
The new covenant, the new testament,
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I call that claiming it.
Amen.
You know, we know what the end is going to be.
Yeah.
Victory is within our favor.
Amen. Can I read a little bit further on that one? Because you want to have me shouting in here. You want to have me shouting in a minute. Okay, let me go back to, you know, I like to do in context. So let's go back to Colossians 2:11. When you came to Christ, he set you free from your evil desires, not by a bodily operation of circumcision, but by a spiritual operation, the baptism of your soul. For in baptism, you see how your old evil nature died with him and was buried with him, and then you came up out of death with him into a new life because you trusted the word of the mighty God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead in sin, and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ, for he forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his commandments, which you had not obeyed. He took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing to the Christ cross. In this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross where your sins were all taken away.
Amen.
So don't let anyone criticize you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating Jewish holidays and feasts or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths, for these were only temporary rules that ended when Christ came. They were only shadows of the real thing of Christ himself. Don't let anyone declare you lost when you refuse to worship angels as they say you must. They have seen a vision, they say, and you know you should. These proud men, though they claim to be so humble, have a very clever imagination, but they are not connected to Christ, the head to which all of us who are his body are joined. For we are joined together by his strong sinews, and we grow only as we get our nourishment and strength from God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Since you died, as it were, with Christ, and this has set you free from following the world's idea of how to be saved by doing good and obeying various rules. Why do you keep on following them anyway, still bound by such rules as not eating, tasting, or even touching certain foods? Such rules are merely human teachings for food has made to be eaten and used up. These rules may seem good, but the rules of this kind require strong devotion and are humiliating and hard on the body, but they have no effect when it comes to conquering a person's evil thoughts and desires. They only make him proud. So these are good. This whole chapter actually is such a good chapter, talking about telling us how to be rooted and grounded in Christ, how to be complete in Christ, how to live an authentic life. The Lord wants us not to do the things that make us look like we're good Christians and make us represent certain things, as the kids say, where they're representing certain things in the body. He wants us to be real.
Amen.
not to pretend to have things that you don't have or be something that you're not. Amen.
That's all words, yeah. Amen. Amen. If I'm talking about being real, that's all he wants. You know, just be real about who we are in Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Doesn't make a difference what the situation is. We don't have to try to be like someone else. All we need to do is just know who we are, know what our gifts are, and what our calling is, and just walk according to that.
Amen.
You know, again, you know, we've got definitely want to keep the lines open for you who are listening. 347-237-4054 is the number to call. We are New Beginnings Ministries. If you've just tuned in, New Beginnings Ministries Bible Study Discussion Group, and we open it up for anyone that would like to call in and just bless us with what the Lord is saying to them through the scripture that we are reading. We do invite you. We'd like to hear from you. We do. For those of you who are listening, thank you again for tuning in. We do so much appreciate each and every time that you are part of this. That just encourages us and blesses us. So we do thank you. We are continuing with the kingdom battle, and this is our third and final week. And before we move on to our next topic, and our next topic will be kingdom
worship.
Kingdom worship. Hallelujah. That's going to be a strong piece also. But that's a vital part of who we are and what we do when it comes to worship. So that's going to be a strong piece, and we do not want you to miss out on that. It's going to be a blessing. Truly, it's going to be a blessing. As we continue with kingdom battle, again, we are on Colossians. We are looking at Colossians 2:13-15, and just talking about being dead in the offenses, or, you know, in being uncircumcised in the flesh. And we look at it, you know, being quickened with him and having forgiven us of the offenses. And, you know, isn't that wonderful to know that even though that we're not perfect and that we do sin, that we have been forgiven when that was all nailed to the cross. Jesus Christ, he died for our sins, and we have been forgiven for our sins, and we do thank God for that. We do thank God for that. This is Savannah. Dr. Savannah, if you want to comment, you know, in Ephesians, it was 2:1, you know, was just a reference piece, and it talked about being quickened. Being quickened.
You said Ephesians 2:1?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, that's just a reference in terms of the talk about being quickened in the word.
Mm-hmm.
What did your Bible tell you?
I'm just looking at just Ephesians, period. Doc, you know, chapter 1. It's the riches of the love of Christ, the mercy and the kindness of Christ. You know, in 1 and 2. Once you were under God's curse, doomed forever by your sins, you went along with the crowd and were just like all the others, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air, who is at work right now in the heart of those who are against the Lord. There we go with the heart again. What does Satan want? He wants your heart. All of us used to be just as they are, our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing that our passions or our evil thoughts might lead us into. And I'll put this in another way, that our hearts might lead us to our evil thoughts, our evil heart, our evil passions of our heart might lead us into. And we started are out there being born with evil natures and were under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised Christ from the dead. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved. And lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with him in the heavenly realm, all because of what Christ Jesus did. And now God can always point to us as examples of how very, very rich his kindness is, as shown in all he has done for us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Did you want me to keep going?
Okay.
Because of his kindness, we have been saved through trusting Christ. And even trusting is not of ourselves, of yourself. It, too, is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good we have done. So none of us can take any credit for it. It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Amen. He talked about his mercy, his kindness, about being saved, and what he wants us to do is to help us. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Yeah, and just to be quick, you know, death to life. You know, just spiritual death, you know. Spiritual life. This is what God wants to do, is to be able to bless others. You know, by nature, just bless others by nature. You know, it doesn't make a difference who they are, you know, or how we see them, that we are supposed to be a blessing. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us, and we are to pass that on to others in a kind, a bit of a kind Christian way. That's just so beautiful. You know, that's, you know, the dead to our transgressions and sin. You know, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know the mistakes that we made. But through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ's death on the cross, that we were made alive. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if anyone would like to tune in again, you know, please call 347-227-4054. And the lines are open for you to be a part of this. We have numbers that pop up here and there, and that's okay if you're just listening in and you know, you don't want to participate or to say anything at this time. But we do thank you for tuning in. And even for those of you that's tuning in for the first time, thank you so much for being a part of this and just blessing us as we continue to move forward. Our numbers that we hear at the end when it's all over, you know, that just continues us to move forward. We just had a passion to want to have a Bible study, and then we just chose to, God has just spoke to our spirits to do this blog talk radio just to make ourselves available, you know, to more than just those who are in our community, but just going out to Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world, just spreading the good news, you know, just, you know, letting others know that wherever you are, whatever state you're in, what I mean by state, I'm speaking of city or state, that we are all going through on the same journey. This is a journey. We're all on the same journey. You know, the word says that, you know, that it does not go to the swift, but those that endure to the very end. So if you become tired or exhausted on this journey because of all the things that coming against you in this battle, just be mindful that that God has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about me. He has not forgotten about us. God is always watching us. God is always protecting us against the wiles of the enemy or the battles, even when we don't even realize it. And that's the beautiful piece of that. And, you know, and if God, you know, it's just unfortunate in the flesh. We only see things that kind of give us encouragement. But if we can believe and have faith in the things that we cannot see, what a blessing that is. The things that we cannot see. You know, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. So when we have faith, God shows, he shows up. He shows up and lets us know that he's in the picture. You know, even though sometimes we think that he's not, shows up some way, form, or fashion to let us know that he is in the picture, that he's on this journey. He's never let go of our hand. You know, God has given a lot of opportunities, you know, to, call the tests that we go through. You know, there are trials and tests, tribulations that we go through, but we cannot get hurt. We cannot be hurt, so be mindful. We cannot be hurt. You know, we can fall down, but God is going to pick us up and let us continue the race because he wants us to make it to the finish line. Hallelujah. He wants us to make it to the end, no matter what, no matter what the circumstance may be, no matter what the illness may be, no matter what the finances may be, no matter what type of situation you may be going through. God wants us to make it to the end. And how do we make it? We make it by encouraging each other, by studying the Word, by praying, you know, by listening to Bible studies and sharing the Word. That blesses our spirit. That blesses our spirit. When God looks at us, he does not see us in the flesh, because if he saw us in the flesh, oh, my God. You know, my God, you know, he would totally be dissatisfied, you know, with that. But when he looks at us, he sees his Son of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit inside. And that's what continues us with this race. So be mindful that the Spirit is how we make it into heaven, by being sensitive to the Spirit. So if the Spirit is speaking to you at this time, you know, just be mindful, you know, that's just God talking to us, letting us know what he wants us to do. And it's very important to get away from a lot of the confusion, get away from a lot of the, you know, just the junk, you know, that we may be surrounded with, that talk about the garbage bag. You know, we're handed garbage, you know, sometimes. But, you know, we know that inside that bag, you know, that it is garbage. There's stench. There's a smell. There's maggots crawling all over. It's been there for the longest. If we know what's inside, then we will not grab it. You know, it may look good. It might be maybe a pretty bag. It may be a pretty bag, but if you open it up, you might have something to think twice about. Glory to God. You know, and that's the beauty of it. God just wants us to know that we are precious in his sight. We are precious in his sight, and it doesn't make a difference what mistake that I've made, what mistake, you know, that Dr. Suzanne has made, that you've made, that God is a forgiving God. He's a loving God, and he does forgive us of our sins because he wants us to make it in. And, you know, there is a heaven, you know, there's a heaven, you know, waiting for us. There's a house that has been already prepared for us, and all we have to do is come in and just take our place. So we're here at this time on this earth, you know, on this journey, you know, through our trials and our tribulations, but there's some good things that's coming. There's better things that's coming. There's great things that's coming. And all we have to do is just be patient and wait on God, and wait on God. And that's just the beauty of it all, the beauty of it all. Again, I just don't want to, for us to, you know, to occupy these lines. But we do want you to call in 347-237-4054. We have maybe about 15 minutes remaining. I'm not going to say 15 minutes. I might as well say 10 minutes remaining before we're going to be closing come out and you will hear the music, and that's our outro, letting you know that we have come to a close, and it has been so beautiful just being able to share the word with you. It's just been so beautiful. We can feel your spirit season through these lines. We know we don't hear from you, we don't see you, but we know that you're there. That's that faith that we have. You know, that faith that we have.
Amen.
We know
Amen.
That you're there. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to our speakers that we have coming, Dr. Susanna, you know, Apostle Scott and Bishop Palmer from out of D.C. and Apostle Scott from out
Ohio,
and we have more to come. So, you know, we're just constantly just, you know, just trying to just make this even better, you know, for the believers of Christ. And, you know, we got some beautiful things coming your way, and I'm looking forward, you know, to just hearing what the Lord has placed on your heart to share with you and to share with me.
Amen.
Yeah. Do you want to comment, Dr.?
No, I'm just excited Amen. About the what the Lord's doing with us and the journey that He has us on.
Amen.
I am so I'm just so blessed to be part of God's plan
mm-hmm.
here. And I'm thankful that you listen to the Holy Spirit about changing format and moving with that. And that's what you want to
do. Amen.
So please,
Amen. God is so blessed. It doesn't make a difference, you know. Where we are, you know, there's always greater things to come, you know. I have high expectations when it comes to the Lord.
Amen.
I have high expectations.
Thank you.
Truly do. Again, you know, we are talking about just kingdom battles that we go through in life. You know, the challenges that we go through in life. You know, and we know that, you know, those challenges or the storm that we go through does not last always. You know, when we see a storm, we know that there's a storm and there's going to be things that's going to be happening. But you know what? The storm does not last forever. And once we come through the storm, you know, those things that we're going through, all it does is just strengthen us. It just makes us stronger for the work that God has for us.
Amen. We have to remember that the victory is ours. That God made you alive with Christ, that He forgave us of all of our sins.
Yes.
And that we are forgiven. That the sins were nailed to the cross, as we said in Colossians. And that it's over, that we triumph through the cross. That the Lord also shares humility in the death of death. But He destroyed them. You know what, I was listening to someone speak the other week at my club. And he was talking about passion and how all of the religions speak about being compassionate and taking care of those who are needy and feeling compassion for one another and how our relationship is important. But Christianity is the only religion that raises the dead, brings the dead back. Spiritually dead, back to life. Physically dead, back to life. Spirituality, Christianity is the only that has Christ and that offers you salvation. Salvation. Now, the others, they're good. They're saying good things. And people say, well, it's good, and they're doing good in the community. That is good. But everybody who's doing the good things in the community, they're not going to heaven. It's Christ. Jesus Christ is the one. I want to share a couple more scriptures with you. I guess it'll be almost time. You dear children are from God and have overcome evil spirits because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And that's 1 John 4:4. The Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 3:30. The Lord will rescue me, meaning Paul, from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And you can put your name in there. The Lord will rescue me, the land, from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord rescue me, John, from every evil attack, and he will bring John safely to his heavenly kingdom. To God be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's 2 Timothy 4:18. And our name should be in here. The Lord has told us that we should be confident and hopeful, that our heart should be light and pure, because we know that we're going to crush Satan under our feet. Okay? That the end of the book, the end of the Bible, we win. We are victorious. We are victorious in Christ. We should be fully armed and ready. We know the nature of the battle that we're facing, that the enemy is going for our heart. He wants our heart. So we should put on the full armor of God.
Amen.
We have to be constantly in prayer. We have to learn to be constantly alert. We have to learn to use the weapon of the word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Learn to use the word, you know, because the word is a powerful tool, that God has given us. You know, even when Jesus was tempted, you know, by the devil, you know, all he just said was, you know, get me behind me, Satan. You know, you don't have to use a lot of words to make it powerful. You know, you know, whatever situation he is, just the word of Jesus, that's powerful.
The name, amen.
You know, just the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Powerful name. So we don't have to go through a lot, you know, just for, you know, Jesus or the power of Jesus to work on our behalf. You know, again, we talked about the heart, and Jesus knows our heart. He knows our heart, and he's going to meet us exactly where we are. That's beautiful. That is so powerful. So crucial in our walk. And we do encourage each and every one of you that, you know, wherever you are, to continue your walk, your journey, continue to be a blessing to others that we come in contact with. We're not here to judge anyone. We're come here to encourage, to lift others up, to build them up, you know, so that we can all be victorious.
Amen.
In Christ. In Christ. And don't let the enemy, you know, fool you into, you know, into making judgments.
Amen.
God is the only one that judges. Now, we never know what someone is going through, even though what it may appear to be, you know, again, sometimes things can be deceived. So we keep our eyes focused on the cross. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And he's already said he's going to fight our battle for us.
Amen.
Don't worry. Don't have any fear, because that's a sin. All he's saying is just be patient, my child, and let me fight your battle for you.
Amen.
And that's what the video is. Again, we are looking forward to, in 2 weeks, we have Apostle Scott from out of Warren, and he's going to be our speaker for this discussion. And his topic is life support.
And that's Warren, Ohio.
Warren, Ohio. He will be the speaker for that evening. And then we have Bishop Palmer from out of D.C., Maryland, or D.C., and he's going to be speaking on DOMA, and he will give you more of that, what that acronym is. He's going to be a presenter, and we're waiting to get a confirmation for him once he returns to Europe. And then we also have some other speakers that's going to be a part of this, that's going to be coming on to bless you with it. So as well, it's just going to be an exciting time in the Lord. You know, I ask you that you would just keep you know, Dr. Suzanne up as she's going to take the mantle. You know, starting next week, I'm going to be working. I have been tied up on a Wednesday, and I don't know how that happened, but that's just how it happened. But, you know, I have to move forward on that because of a commitment. And Dr. Suzanne is going to be, she's going to take the mantle. So, you know, please keep her in prayer. Continue to, you know, just encourage her as, you know, she moves forward by faith and not by sight. And as in closing, we just like to say that, you know, we love you, but God loves you more. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, Father, we ask that you would continue to bless our endeavors, Heavenly Father. Continue to guide our hearts, our minds, Father. Let us continue to keep our eyes focused on you. And Lord, Father, we ask that whatever we do or whatever we say would be a blessing, that everything that is done, Heavenly Father, is to glorify the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. And Lord, Father, we ask that you would just give our spiritual eyes, give us the vision, Heavenly Father, as we continue to be a blessing to others as well as others bless us, so that we will all be on one accord. Father, we thank you for those who are listening in a mighty way. Father, continue to Father. Lord, Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, just for being a part of this time, Heavenly Father. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we thank you for the honor of being rejoiced. Father, we claim victory over those, Heavenly Father, for whatever sickness, whatever illness that may be going through, financial situation. Lord, Father, we claim victory over that, Father. Whatever it is, the families, the marriages, or whatever, Father, we come and we declare and decree, Heavenly Father, ask, Heavenly Father, that, you know, that would be dismissed in the name of Jesus, Father, that you, the glory of God, would be a part of whatever is taking place in their lives, Father, and the darkness that's in there will turn to light, Father, and then they'll just glorify you, magnify you, knowing that the Father says it's not of them, but it's of you. Lord, Father, we just give you the praise. That the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable unto you in thy sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, the mighty and precious and matchless name of Jesus, that we say thank you and give you praise. Thank you again.
Far beyond what I have done, like a dream.